You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Our hands are amazing. I took my science book off my shelf this week, and I bought it many years ago, and I studied the hands. They're so amazing. All the fingers, the joints, and the cartilage, everything that's running through your hands. My right hand has, like yours, 27 bones. And my left hand has 27 bones. To think that we have over 50 bones in these two hands alone. And it's amazing how this one, if yours bends, this one bends right there, and it bends right there, and it bends right there. And they're attached to wrist bones. I have 5 digits on this hand, and I have 5 digits on this hand. We have 10 digits all together. And these hands are so amazing. We read about the hand several times in the text that you read right there, the good hand of God. This hand can be used to slap people, to hurt people. This hand can be made into a fist and to hit people. This hand can be used with these digits to go into a computer and to see things and to say things with your fingers that should never be seen or said. These hands can do good things as well. Those are evil things. It can do the same hand that can make a fist for bad and evil can make a fist for good. That's knocking on doors. That's a friendly knock. It drives people crazy because they want to do right after that. This is a police is at the door. But this is a friendly knock. As someone's outside wanting to talk to you. I knock that way when I go door knocking all the time. And leave it right there. People often will say, I was wondering who was out here. Just me, the nutcase, you know, that's all right. These hands can be used like a woman in Proverbs 31, where it mentions 7 times her hands serve her family, and her hands serve the poor people, and her hands serve in the fields. And her hands that could slap can also serve. And our hands that can be used as a fist can hurt, can also help. As we seek to take the gospel, our hands can work. Instead of just playing around with a remote or a computer all day long, and I know some of you have to work that way, I understand. But the Bible says, no man having put his hand, Luke chapter 9, verse 62, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, your hand to the plow. And I've pastored the church now for almost 43 years where God's people put their hand to the plow of the bus routes and the plow of the Sunday school and the plow of the ushers and the plow of going door to door and visiting and knocking on doors and the plow of vacuuming and dusting and painting and cleaning and fixing and shoveling and repairing. Thank God for these hands tonight. As I read in my own personal Bible reading, I guess it was last week, I kept noticing the word hands. And there's these only 10 chapters that we have here. And I said, it seemed like I'm reading that word hand a lot. So I went back, and I remembered the first one. I was over there in chapter 1. And I saw another one at hand in chapter 1. And as I began to look, I saw how that there were strengthened hands and the hands of the treasurer. And the hands that were weakened, and the hands that were prosperous, and the hands that were literally political hands. God used the political hands, the Bible says, of Nebuchadnezzar. And then he raised up a man who was not a, what we would call modern day vernacular, New Testament vernacular. He was not a Christian, Cyrus. But God used him and said, I want that temple built. I want the people of God to have that. And he passed a law. It was a political leader. And then we had the people that had the law, the Bible, in their hands. You'll find that as you read. And then there was wise hands. And money was in their hands. And I found that they had the hand of the priest and the hand of leadership. And throughout this book, we saw that there are separated hands. And let's separate these heathen from us. Take your hands and separate. But there's one that really started me on this journey that captured my attention. It was God's hand. Those are all good hands. A hand of a treasure and a hand of a king. And a hand that was separated and a hand that was strengthened. And a hand that was prosperous. But you notice God's hand. I want you to see it with me here briefly tonight. Chapter 7, where we read in verse 6. Then Ezra, and this is really where God introduces finally Ezra. He has been hidden to this point. And Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a ready scribe. Now, I want you to see by way of introduction that Ezra, if you go back to verse 4, 5, and 6, he was, but he was a student. He was a ready scribe of the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given him. The king granted him all his requests. Watch this class, church, tonight, to the hand of the Lord, according to the hand of the Lord, his God, was upon him. I pray it all the time. God, would you please place your hand on my life? Would you move me and would you direct me? And I want your hand on my life. I don't want to live one day from now to the finish line without God directing my path. I want God's hand to move me this direction and move me there. I don't want God's hand to quiet my mouth sometimes. I want God's hand to hold my hands and still my hands. I want God's hand to move my hand and move it toward the Bible. Notice what he says here. He said, the hand of God was upon him. Did you notice in verse number 9? From the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. On the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem. Here it is. According to the good hand of his God upon him. God's good hand was on his life. Would you notice, please, with me in chapter number 7 and verse number 28. And it extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before the king's mighty prince. Notice what he says. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. Mother, don't you desire the hand of God? Dad, don't you desire the hand of God? Teenager, you have now moved into ninth grade. Don't you desire the hand of God? Seventh grader, it's a whole new world. Seventh grade, you're going to love it. But don't you desire 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, that God's hand gets so powerfully upon you that he led by the master's hand. Amen. We sing about that in the church. Senior citizen, you want to die as an old grump, sitting on a couch, mad and ornery, just watching TV? Or do you want to pass away in these last days? As God one day will take us home, serving God and placing our hand to the plow. Notice in chapter 8, please. In chapter 8, look what the Bible says in verse 18. But by the good hand of our God upon us. Now I know, Brother Lawman and you preachers that are here, you've probably seen this 1,000. I never saw all those good hands before. God's good hand on this man's life. Just constantly on his life. And that's the fourth time we find it. And notice what he says in chapter number 8 and verse 18. And the good hand of our God upon us. And notice what he says in verse number 22 of that chapter. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers, the horsemen, to help us against the enemy in the way, because he had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon them all for good that seek him. And then how about chapter number 8? And did you notice in verse 31? The Bible says on the 12th day of the first month to Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us. What does it mean to have the hand of God on our life? What does it mean when we say the hand of God? And I know direction and all that. I know that. But when the Bible speaks of the hand of God on someone's life, Elijah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Nehemiah, and when God's hand rested on his life, what did it mean, Abraham and Sarah, when God rested his hand on you? What does that mean? It just simply means divine favor. Divine favor. God, when he rests a hand on a person, it doesn't mean free from sorrow. It doesn't mean free from heartache. The truth of the matter is, there might be more heartache. There might be more disappointment. There might be more setback. But there's also the divine hand of God. I'll show you next Sunday night, by the grace of God, some things that happen. Have you noticed I haven't been raising money? This is the first year you're probably not having an anniversary offering. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that we're still going forward and taking care of things? Because God's divine favor gave us the wherewithal to take care of these things. Miraculously. Divine favor. I don't know why God's put such divine favor on us. I don't know why we're having such a good summer. And I know there are vacations. I know a lot of people are gone tonight. I understand that. And thank God for it. And I'm glad when people tell me, I'm over here. I went to church. Here's what happened. But you know, God's divine favor. I don't want the favor of politics. I want the favor of God. I want God to say, Jack, you're so seeking me, I want my hand to rest upon your life with divine favor. I want God, Brother Gain, I see you and your sweet wife back there. Thank God for what you do with the ark, but I see you shaking your hand. That's my desire, and that's yours. I want God to so bless my life that I could live in such a way that God says, I think I'll bless Jack. I think I'll put my blessing on so that God's people might be a recipient of the blessings of God, because the man of God sought to live for God and do for God what he shouldn't have done. And then your children get the benefit of that. I'm not suggesting I'm the best man in the world. I'm far from it. Oh, wretched man that I am. But I'm saying I want God's hand, his divine favor. I've been thinking about that song. I have it with me. There is an unseen hand to me that leads in ways I cannot see. While traveling through this world of woe, this hand still leads where'er I go. I'm holding to that unseen hand. Oh, I like that song that guides me through this dreary land. Some sweet day I'll reach that strand. Still holding to that unseen hand. I'm thankful his hand's in mine. His hand has led me through shadow deer. While it leads, I have no fear. I know 'twill lead me to that home where sin nor sorrow where ne'er can come. I long to see my Savior's face and tell the story, saved by grace. I'm so glad there's that unseen hand. Oh no, I've never seen the hand of God, but I felt the hand of God, that God has directed my path and God has led my path and God's divine favor. There was a song that came out in 1913. It's not in our psalm books anymore. One night I'm going to make us a psalm book that's singing all these old songs that are not around anymore. You say, well, why don't we put in ours? Ours is already, 600 pages long? You want to hold a dictionary that's about this big? I don't think so. This old song I can remember as a boy. We'd sing it in church. There are days so dark that I seek in vain for the face of my friend divine. But through the darkness hide, though the darkness hide, he's there to guide by the touch of his hand on mine. Oh, the touch of his hand on mine. Oh, the touch of his hand on mine. There is grace and power for each trying hour by the touch of his hand on mine. I know I can hear that song singing standing next to my mother and dad in church. The second stanza, there are times when tired of Tolson Road, that the ways of the world I pine. In other words, you're tired. I'm tired of living sometimes a Christian life. I look at the world and think, I want to maybe go that way. But he draws me back to the upward track by the touch. You know something tonight? God bless you, you're here. There must be something in your heart. But you wavered from God. You've walked from God. He's not preeminent in your life. He's not seeking. You're not seeking first. And tonight, I understand. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I know what it's like. And so do you. We all do. And tonight, perhaps you wandered away from God. You're not where you're supposed to be. And I think you'd call me if there was a 911 tonight. I'd pray for you. But friend, well, the first thing you got to get back where God's hand is touching your life, where you're back in fellowship with God. The third stanza says, when the way is dim, I cannot see through the midst of the wise design. How my glad heart yearns my faith to return by the touch of his hand on mine. And I like this last stanza. I thought of it when sometimes I got to the hospital or to the nursing home too late, and the person's already gone. They were alone. It bothers me. In the last sad hour, where the powers of death combine, while the dark waves roll, he will guide my soul by the touch of his hand on mine. Oh, the touch of his hand on mine. Oh, the touch. Some folks in this room, we're going to die all alone. I've never told you this. It torments me. But I got word from my sister last March, a year ago, that my dad all of a sudden became very sick. And she said, the doctor said, he won't make it but a short time. I said, Judy, you got to be kidding me. I just saw him recently. He was fine. And they said, something happened. He's going fast. And I left here and I drove all the way there, but I had no time to eat breakfast and I had no time to eat lunch. And I got to him and he was not coherent, and I was in his room, and I spent the evening. I hadn't eaten dinner. I hadn't slept very much that week. And about 10 or 10:30, I'd been singing to my dad, spending the afternoon and evening hours with him. And I said, I feel weak. I said, Dad, I think I've got to go find something to eat somewhere. And I want to go find a hotel room. I said, I'm just going to be gone for a couple hours. I can't stay awake, Dad. He was not responding. And I said, I'm just going to go lay down. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, this is about 10, 10:30, maybe a little late, I said, I'll get a hotel and I'll take a little nap and I'll come back. They said he went past away. Somehow I started to sleep, and at 2:30 they called. They said, Mr. Treiber, your dad just died. And I got up and got ready and drove that couple miles to where he was living. And I walked into that room, the same bed, same place where my mother had just died the year before. It's such a sad feeling. Because the same thing happened with me, with my dad, what happened with me, with my mom. I had just left for a few minutes. That turned into an hour or two or three. And both of them passed away without me there. I thought of that stanza, of that song. And I know he wasn't coherent, but I often wondered, I wonder if he just, God gave him one last moment. And he looked, and I was gone. What, the midnight hour when you're all alone and friends and family aren't there and the pastor's failed you and he's not there, to have the touch of God's hand. Angels came and gathered my dad and took him to heaven. I think of that great song we sing, when my Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. He took his hand and he saw me. This fall would be 62 years ago. Right over here, he saw me. An old rotten sinner. And he said, Jack, tonight's the night. And he put his hand on me. I tell you what, I know that God doesn't move us like this. I didn't go the first stanzas too afraid. I can remember stepping out this way. I was sitting on this side of the little pews and the little chairs. I stepped out here. And when I stepped out, I was so afraid, but all of a sudden, such a burden was lifted. I feel like God just was putting his hand and pushing me down that aisle. That was God's hand, God's divine providence, that he saved me that night. We sing, hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, you can build your life on things that are eternal. Life is full of great transition. Not on earth. Unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. I want you to pray that this week my hand finds his hand and that I walk with the King. Hallelujah. I walk with the King. Praise his name. You know, I close tonight. It's not only God's good hand on me, but it's my hand in his hand. There's an old song. It's not in many songbooks anymore, and I would not want to advertise for them, but the truth is, in about 1957, Elvis Presley made it popular. Elvis claimed to get saved in Tennessee. He grew up in a Baptist home. He grew up going to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. He was in church all the time. I know a preacher that talked to him very distinctly and directly. And Elvis said, yes. Yes, there was a day I trusted Christ as my Savior. It was toward the end of his life. But he said, it's very obvious I'm not living for God anymore, am I? He made this song very popular. It's just an old hymn, a little old song. But he began to sing it. He sang, he trust me. He touched me, all the joy. Yeah, he began to sing, and that's how he started his career, not with rock and roll, but with gospel hymns. He sings, how great thou art, just a closer walk with thee. There was nothing wrong with it. But he began to sing this song, and it's an old song, and I note the song, when my way grows dear, precious Lord, linger near, when my life is almost gone. Hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. What is the hand of God? It's God's divine unction. It's God's divine favor. Now, is God's favor on your life? I close with this, and here's my message, but I think I'll close. Ezra had the good hand. It says it, I think, seven times. The good hand of God on him. Why? Because the scriptures, it tells us that he gave himself to the law of God. Why? Because of the sanctuary, he went to the house of God immediately. And what put the divine favor on Ezra? That God would raise him up. Because of the scriptures, because of the sanctuary, because of supplication as he began to make his prayer to God, and because of separation, chapter 9, verse 1. He said, we're going to have to separate some things. And God says, he loves my book. He loves my house. He loves talking to me. I think I'm going to put my good hand and guide his life. It's not difficult. We just have to say no to ourselves and yes to him.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.